But I'm not impressed by your performance.
Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
Welcome on to chapter 220 of What's the Story podcast. I am Danny Murray, Danjo Murray on all the social media. I'm going to put social media into the intro for once because usually it's only at the outro. And what if somebody listens not until the outro because they fall asleep beforehand?
Very good.
Yes, I'm so going to put clever. It in to start. So I'm at Danjo Murray. That's what I'm to be referred as from now on to everybody.
At Danjo Murray, I'll agree with you to a certain extent, Murray. Yeah, that's your Twitter.
That is, yeah, I will agree with you to a certain. We'll get on to that. Don't worry. And I am.
I'm Erigan Mania. Graham Erigan. Ballyrath Bulls, WBC, Elite Fitness. That's all me.
Come on, the lads. We're hyper. At Lindsay Doyle PT, how are you?
Good, great.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
We had deadly fun yesterday.
We still friends.
Yeah, we are. We're best house. It's great. Not often we say that after training session, but we are. So yeah, this is chapter 20, lads. We had a great guest last week at Ken Early, but this week it's just the three of us. Three amigos.
A solid chapter of housekeeping. What a treat.
It is. It's more or less just an entire housekeeping chapter. So
great feedback from the Ken Early. So thanks for everyone for listening.
Absolutely. And thanks to Ken again. He was a joy to be with for that hour and a half. Very, very funny bloke. I enjoyed his company immensely.
Yeah. There was elements where I was disappointed we didn't talk a bit more about football. Yeah, but it was the way it went and it was the time.
I'm not going to lie. I was delighted we didn't do much football.
The whole thing
he specialises in football.
He is. He's a footballing knowledge bomb.
But he wanted us to chat to him as opposed to him as a journalist.
I was going to say, the whole thing with this podcast is that we come in with kind of a couple of ideas, but where the conversation goes, we go.
So exactly.
If the conversation turns into an hour of the one topic, then it turns into an hour of the one topic. And we try to keep it as interesting as we can, lads, and we hope you enjoy it. And for the most part, the feedback we're getting and the old charts on iTunes would suggest that you are enjoying it.
So
that's crazy, isn't it?
Ridiculous. We peaked this week, lads. It just goes to show that if you get a good guest, it doesn't matter how bad you are. I think that's a good sign. We wouldn't have got there if our previous chapters weren't solid as well, So we peaked. We peaked well. We hit the top five of the category we were in, which is personal journals. So in that you have podcasts like An Irishman Abroad, which is an extremely popular one.
And it's a brilliant one.
It's a great, brilliant. Fair play, Jarlath Regan. You have Marion Finucane, Ray Darcy, Pat Kenny, Joe Duffy.
All big heavyweights.
Sure, go on. Joe Duffy, go on. Talk to Joe. So you've got all these people and there's us just swanning in there. Minimal budget, minimal fuss, just rocking up and saying, you know what, three people in Ballybrack can do just as good as three people from RTE Towers, man.
Ew.
And then in the overall, we beat Joe Rogan yesterday, lads.
That is outrageous.
To put this into context, right, I've been listening to podcasts for maybe 5 years now or something, and part of the reason that we started doing a podcast because I really liked listening, we figured, you know what, why not turn the blog into a podcast? And that's how all this merry bandwagon started to roll. The Joe Rogan thing was one of the ones I listened to all the time, along with the likes of Bill Burr and that, and we're ahead of them all. Never in my wildest dreams that I think we'd even get within an arse's roar.
That's hilarious as well, because Ken spoke a bit about Joe Rogan last
very
week.
Very true, yeah.
And talked about the hours of content he puts out weekly.
Exactly.
So I might actually tweet Joe Rogan and include Ken in the tweet and say we beat you this week.
Yeah, I think Joe Rogan's problem is it's a huge commitment to listen to a 3.5 hour long podcast.
Yeah, that's
sometimes it's 4.5.
Yeah, it depends on the sometimes as guests are that good that I will actually make a conscious effort to make sure I'm any car journey, I'll bookmark where I finish before I get out of the car, all that kind of stuff. If he has Dan Carlin's another one who we're ahead of, which baffles me. Anybody, if you have any interest in history, even if you don't have an interest in history, you just want something different to listen to, check out Dan Carlin Hardcore History. Amazing breakdowns of everything, literally from the beginning of civilization all the way up to now. His the way he does it, he does episodes that are 3 hours, 4 hours long, but he only releases them once every 6 months, because essentially the 6 months is spent by him researching and developing a podcast specifically for this topic. So the ones that he done on World War One, World War Two are, like, I've listened to about four times each at this stage.
Wow.
I could write a thesis based just on those podcasts. Like, it is amazing. But we beat Dan Carlin as well, so.
I've never heard of him.
He's amazing. Absolutely amazing. In terms of history podcasts, I'd say it's probably the best one out there. I love history. I'm a little geek when I come, but anyway. So yeah, so look, lads, basically, thanks for all the love and support. Really appreciate it. And the guests that we've had, everybody from what seems like a very long time ago with Tony McGregor, through to, we had Paul Howard, and we've had Paul Stenson, and
Johnny,
we've had
Fulham.
Johnny Fulham and Saskia Tidy and Padge O'Flynn and Micheál O'Meara to King Cowley. King Cowley.
Congratulations to King Cowley.
Congratulations to Keane.
I was actually training with Keane on Monday in SBG.
Brilliant.
Did he tell you
he was expecting?
It's in the same class as me. No, we weren't. We were talking training. We weren't talking about it.
We're talking business.
Yeah.
No, fair play to Keane. Again, he's another local lad, but in fairness, he seems like a good lad. He's got his head screwed on in terms of where he wants to be and all that. Nothing wrong with a bit of ambition, but I wish him and Keira all the best with their pending arrival.
And his next takeover show is coming soon as well.
November 28th. Yeah, it's
takeover
in...
Takeover 6.
It's in a GAA club somewhere in Sandyford. Yeah. If you just pop the old Takeover 6 into Facebook or Google, I'm sure it'll pop up. I can't remember the exact details of it, but...
we'll have the details before it happens.
Definitely, we'll give it an
just go to Keane Kelly on Facebook.
Yeah. But all the guests we've had, like, everyone have been brilliant to us. So huge thanks to them, because, you know, the only reason that we're managing to kind of do as well as we're doing without wheels falling off the wagon is because those people have been extremely good to us as we've tried to be to them. So, you know,
consistency as well. We've been consistent with it. And like I always preach to you guys and clients.
Here she goes.
CSK. We've been consistently good, consistently nice.
I think so, yeah. We do all right. But enough about blowing our own horns, lads.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Jesus,
it goes downhill fast.
Cut that out.
We had to. Like, look, it was a love in there. I need to get back to reality.
Well, this leads us nicely into then Halloween with the filth talk.
Filth and Halloween, lads.
What is the story with people?
I didn't dress up this Halloween.
Halloween costumes.
I don't. Halloween's not a good one to me, but I don't understand why.
It's not a good one to you? What do you mean?
You just don't like it? Yeah, I'm not mad about Halloween.
I love Halloween.
I don't understand when Halloween... Halloween is about ghosts and goblins and spooks and scares and all this. It does not involve you putting a pair of cat's ears on your head, wearing a cat suit and unzipping it so that I can see your clavage.
Clavage.
But it's not even that. It's wearing like
What's wrong with that? Tiny little
black dress and then just putting the hairband on, calling it ears and saying, no, I'm a cat.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
Woman in a dress with a hairband on.
Yeah.
What's wrong with either of those that you bring up?
I just find it unimaginative.
What did you dress up as for my 30th last year?
Last year I was Catwoman, but I was in a full
catsuit with clavage.
Did you have your clavage on display?
The catsuit zipped up to there was a bit of clavage. Yeah. I was post fight
boobish. Oh.
But did I or did I not have a fucking tail? I had
there,
a mask.
Is there a smell of hypocrite off this?
There's a smell of hypocrite.
Is there a smell of hypocrite in the room all of a sudden?
Listen, everything I do is sexy because, you know. Oh. When you look this good, man, with a black bag on, people accuse you of looking sexy.
This is disgraceful.
This is my message for girls. Train the hanger, girls, and the clothes look great.
I've often wondered why Elite Gym in Glenageary, beautiful Glenageary, has a big old garage door shutter. Now I know, so she can get her bleeding head out.
Yeah. She won't fit out that shutter.
Not a chance, man.
You had to go sideways.
Tell you. Jesus.
Well,
fair
I had
play
like
to
three
Lynn.
Costumes last year, so I had the Catwoman.
Mrs. Incredible.
Mrs. Incredible and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Three dirty ones. And she's given the
Well, this is incredible. I was covered from head to toe. In Catwoman, I was covered from head to toe.
Yeah, yeah. But they were just very, very tight. I'm not complaining. You two seem to be complaining about the attire.
No, hang on. Right, I'm not necessarily complaining about the attire. What I'm complaining about is that Halloween is meant to be this scary time of year, and yet, you know.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest that people stop being sluts, Graham.
I'm with Danny. I think you're the only one that isn't, and that's because you're a creep.
I'm not saying that. No, hang on,
don't get me wrong, I enjoy a catsuit as much as the next man, right? But what I'm saying is, like, I don't get, is that not just for kind of a fancy dress situation as opposed to a Halloween dressing up situation? Like, in the movie Halloween, for example, how many people do you see getting killed wearing cat's ears and catsuits? Or, you know, sexy zombies? Zombies aren't sexy. Ever.
Well, this was
so stop trying
we're
to
venturing
be.
Into a dodgy thing here where you say, okay, try and make it scary, and then you have girls just dressing as zombie sluts.
That's what it turns. That's what it seems to turn into for a lot of women. It turns into literally, okay, how quickly can I turn this into boobs out, short skirt, legs on show?
But in fairness to women, like I was there, I was going to a party or something last year.
You'd know I'm in a long-term relationship, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
She was your 30th, Mero, and I was looking for a costume, and I went down to like the costume shop or whatever, and literally there was no costume for women that wasn't skanky.
Yeah, like, I seen, and this is where it gets ridiculous to me, I seen a sexy factory worker outfit, which was literally a girl's outfit that had a hat and a tie. Other than that, it was just a white shirt and a skirt, like, sexy factory worker.
Yeah.
Who's buying that? Genuinely, who's buying that?
Her.ie done it deadly, like, the top 10 sexy male costumes, and they were hilarious. There was one guy, and he had jeans and no top on, and the jeans were open, and there was, like, sparklers coming out of them, and I had party in my pants or something out on the jeans.
Hey, was really this is the lad?
This was on her.ie.
Yeah, but what was the...
Yeah, it was a guy in jeans. Dressed up as a party in his pants.
That was, and you laughed at that, and that was funny. Okay. Yeah. But if that
well,
was
no, I wouldn't want like someone that I was with wearing it. But it's still, it's funny, like.
Yeah. Do you know, actually, lads?
He's a very hard line against the beautiful women of Ireland.
I just would like people to use their imagination. Like I love, like I was. Yeah.
If you're going to say that statement about people use their imagination, I would agree with you because people. I would rather someone make their costume.
Yeah.
As opposed to buying one. I think making the costume is hilarious. Just like my. This year I didn't dress up.
When you dressed up as Pat Mustard.
Pat Mustard in my milk float.
That was brilliant.
And then the DJ boot last year.
Yeah, that lasted 5 minutes.
That kind of broke within 5 minutes, and I just had to stay in the same spot for the whole night. But it's the last time. I don't know if I'll use my chair as a prop anymore.
Yeah,
I have an idea for next year. You'll have to wait till next year.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that one.
Mrs. Incredible one I made cost me about €5.
Yeah, it was very tight.
Probably should have went to size up then.
Slow.
It's just because he's a creep. I wear leggings every day. He's like, whatever trackies I wear to gym, he's comments on. So,
okay, all right then. I'm looking around. There's nobody here to get me out of this situation.
We warned you, Dan. You were going to be there.
It's the only reason why I'm in the Jesus gym.
Jesus, right? So yeah, now look. Basically, I hope everybody had a good and safe Halloween. Though, I went for dinner on Halloween.
Do you know what I did? It was amazing.
Wow.
In the National Concert Hall, went to see Godfather.
Oh, where the orchestra played. They played a film, and
the
orchestra
was
there.
It was.
I went to one in the Grand Canal Theatre or whatever. What is it? Borgash Energy Theatre. I don't like saying Borgash because the word gash is involved, and it's a weird word.
I just say gas. I'm like Borgash.
Borgash.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't it gosh?
I was gonna say the Gaelgaard is out there. I'd be like. Bleeding gosh.
What do you still call the Grand Canal Theatre?
I think I'll stick to the Grand Canal Theatre.
I'm not going to commercialism.
So it's Lansdowne Road now, is it?
Yeah, Lansdowne Road.
Up to Lansdowne Road.
Grand Canal Theatre, the Point Depot.
The Point, yeah.
Succumbing, is that the word?
Yeah.
Not succumbing.
Yeah, I'm not going to succumb to...
Commercialism.
I watched a great documentary. sorry, I'm going off on a tangent.
It's all right.
Capitalism, about Michael Moore. No, Michael Moore. Do you not like Michael Moore?
How can you like that fat oaf?
Really?
The propaganda machine that is Michael Moore. Everything is selective in that man's brain.
It was a good documentary, though.
I don't believe so.
Capitalism, a love story.
A balanced documentary, I find. He is like that study that came out last week about the cancer, it was like he decides on an outcome and works backwards from there, I find.
Yeah, like that one that he done about Guantanamo Bay, where he gets a boat to Cuba and he's like, I just want medical care. What about this person just wants medical care? And you get free medical care in Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, but you want to get a hosepipe shoved up your arse in Guantanamo Bay with a load of water and they just give you this weird chronic irrigation. You also get Westlife blasted at you. At full volume for hours and hours and hours and hours. Do you want that while you're getting your hysterectomy, do you? I just think the man's an oaf. He just paints this picture of everything that he wants the world to think it is without actually saying, you know what, there's two sides to every biscuit.
And yeah, he doesn't really do two sides.
You know?
But like, I think the capitalism one, I suppose how he shows the other side is by showing news stories from it.
And yeah, like, but again, selective media, selective news stories, I would argue.
Selective, well, yeah.
Now I know I'm putting him in the spot, but off the top of your head, can you remember what news stories from what news outlets he was using?
He was using, like, say, Fox, then he was... No, but I'm giving a balance. He was using Fox.
Right.
Then he was using CNN.
Right.
Then he was using CNBC.
Right.
Then he was using kind of affiliates within each other's states.
Okay.
He was showing both sides of the argument, per se, that, look, this is what Fox said. And Fox are outrageously terrible. Yeah. And then he would show CNN. Like, he'd show both.
Okay.
And then he'd talk to an expert, and the expert will
An expert say, that he's vetted and handpicked.
Yeah, but the expert has also worked for, like, the government. Like, this one was about capitalism. So the expert that he got for it worked in the Treasury Department and stuff like that. So he was just giving his opinion on what went wrong with the whole crash in 2008 and all.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not saying it wasn't interesting. Like, I thought bowling for Columbine was very interesting.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 9/11 was good as well.
Fahrenheit 9/11 was interesting as well. But again,
how many documentaries has he got?
Oh, he's got a lot. I've seen maybe 5, I think, of his.
I've seen 3.
And I just think that, if I'm being honest and truthful about it, like, they're interesting and they serve a purpose and they're entertaining. But I think if you're making a documentary, you should be informative first, entertainment second. But that's just my own opinion of it. Like, and again,
otherwise you're just making a movie, really, aren't you?
Pretty much, exactly. The greatest movie ever sold. That's a good documentary, actually, but different story altogether.
What about Louis Theroux?
Yeah, I like Louis
Theroux. His style.
I like him.
His style isn't really...
But again, he's not confrontational in the way that Michael Moore is confrontational. He's not going out there. We talk about documentaries a lot. But Louis Theroux kind of goes out, lives it, and has a camera crew with him, so you see it. Now, again,
he can come across sometimes as condescending.
He can, very much so, yeah.
Which can be, like, confrontational sometimes.
I was going to say, I don't know. Like, I mean, there is definitely an element of patronisation about kind of how he conducts himself. But I think to make any documentary, you have to have something that's a little bit uneasy or a little bit uncomfortable. The difference, I would say, between Louis Theroux and Michael Moore is that Louis Theroux has the BBC behind him, which adds a small element of, okay, how much do the BBC have an input into what output Louis Theroux was getting, if that makes sense.
Mm.
You know, I sound like I'm kind of on a conspiracy theory here about all media being
documentary.
I'm not Edward Snowden or anything, but
I'm not watching a documentary ever again.
At the same time,
it's a Dan Danny's template.
I just don't think that. No, I'd only agree with you to a certain extent there.
What is this? I missed this joke.
So basically,
there was feedback on last week's show.
I've noticed that I have, and when I'm listening back and I'm editing, I've noticed
that. Are you a bit scarlet?
That you say to a certain extent, is it?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I say to a certain extent, yeah.
I agree with you, Lindsay, to a certain extent.
Exactly.
No, he always
never
fully agrees with me. Yeah, it's you, really.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't me. It was Ken Early.
It's Ken Early. And a week before that, Richard Boyd Barrett. I'll agree with you to a certain extent.
It's Danny being politically correct instead of saying that's ridiculous.
It's Danny not having the balls.
No, what that is that's my nice way of kind of saying,
no.
Okay, I hear you, but, so, you know. Like, look, I know, look, everybody has something that they say. Like, I say that, and I also say, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is my nice way of saying, have I put that in a way that is too clever for you?
So that's you being condescending.
Condescending.
Well, what's your thing then? Because my thing is that I have to stop cursing, apparently.
Yeah, you're not allowed to curse anymore. Hang on, actually, I just want to address that. I think our first 6-7 episodes, we were fierce. Me and you,
not me.
Me and you were fierce. But I think we reined that shit in a good bit.
We did. Last week I lost it a little bit because Ken was cursing.
Ken was quite loose-lipped, in fairness.
I'm in the company of people that are cursing. Chris.
Someone tweeted Ken saying
very
foul language
from
someone who's a...
A field sock. Yeah.
What's that? Philosophy Society.
Yeah.
Philosophy Society graduate.
So
that's hilarious. Ken was doing
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah.
He was interviewing Ian Eyre. I think he had something with Liverpool.
Yeah, he did. Ian Eyre, yeah, Liverpool, yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed him, and I think the reaction we got pretty with that. Everybody else
I loved the way the podcast went, like the topics turned into interesting subjects.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know,
mindless natter. Like,
the thing about the fighters union and the UFC and stuff like that all really interesting.
Because we have no structure. We just talk about whatever.
And it's stuff about the universe. No, that's the best thing.
It's not that we have no structure. It's that we've got organized chaos.
There's
a multitude of stuff.
Like that, yeah.
There's a multitude of stuff there that's on the table. And every so often, one of us just closes our eyes, puts our hand out, picks it up from the table and says, yeah, that's all fine and well. And I'd agree with you to a certain extent. But what about... If that makes sense to you, Graham.
Does that make sense, Graham?
Does make sense. So, to a certain extent.
Our listeners who mightn't be friends with us on Facebook maybe might want to know that Dan Joe was trying to stand me up yesterday for training. So to his detriment, he wound up jumping in on a training session with me instead because I had left a half an hour free to do a little prowler relay myself. So I said, no worries, Danny, that you're late. You mix up your times. Come on in and we'll have a team training session.
Yeah. So basically, normally speaking, me and you would train at 6:30 and Graham would take the 6 o'clock slot. But for some unknown reason, when you sent a text to us saying, lads, I've got 6 and 6:30, I replied quick saying 6. Probably just that I go, I'll get one up in Merrigan. I don't know. I don't know why I said I'll train at 6.
Get one up for me.
Right? So then I'm at home. Like, I go home and work. I have
Putting
a little,
the feet up.
Yeah, exactly. I have a little power nap, genuinely, right? And then I'm checking on the podcast and getting emails from the podcast, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, this crap. Sure, I've got a bit of time to kill before I get changed and head down. And then you text saying, you training, Danjo? I'm like, yeah, 6:30. And then I was like, she wouldn't have texted me that if I was training at 6:30. So I scroll back through the messages and I was like, yeah, I'll take 6. Shit. So I literally got changed in about 4.5 seconds. Old training gear that I haven't worn in a while because it doesn't fit me. # come on to weight loss. But it was grand, so I came down then and
pushed some prowlers.
I did.
Me and Damo.
Were you sitting on, were you resting on your chair at home where you have the 3 cardboard boxes with the laptop sitting on top of it?
No, that was the child son on call. So, geez, we're jumping a lot here. So last week,
I was just thinking of that photograph that John sent me. It's hilarious.
So last week, basically, as Brian pointed out last week was my birthday, and my brother, who I thought had got me nothing, appeared. Genuinely thought he'd got nothing.
John
for me
never
birthday.
Forgets.
Yeah, and look, he's done well. One year he organised the Simon Brian O'Driscoll jersey at the late night show when Brian O'Driscoll was there and I was there, and that blew my mind. But last week, look, I don't know how he pulls this stuff off, like, because if you meet Jono, he's just this kind of chap who meanders along, marches to the beat of his own drum. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's brilliant in his own unique way once you get to know him. But he can, like, look, I love him. Obviously, he's my brother.
But
I could understand how for somebody who doesn't know him, they could probably go, I'm not sure about him, but he's deadly. Face funny when he wants to be. Anyway.
He's a great snorer.
Brilliant snorer.
Great roomie.
He sounds like a T-Rex in he. That's probably the best way to describe a snoring.
T-Rex on he.
Yeah. So Channel arrives home from work on Friday and he's like, you have Skype, don't you? I was like, yeah. And he's like, what is it there? And I was like, I don't know, I haven't logged into it in ages. He's like, just do the forgot password thing there. We need to check something for you. All right, fair enough. So, got to set up. And I was like, what's he doing? Like, so, got to set up. Everything's working now. And he's like, all right, Deadly, look, you might be getting a phone call from Child Salmon. Sorry. Just say those words in a way that I'll understand, please. He's like, yeah, man, yeah, happy birthday. I was like, oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, I've been organizing, man. So, on Skype, he was trying to ring your mobile, but he couldn't ring your mobile for some reason. So, we set up through Skype instead, so just would now stay
so
on.
So he actually tried to ring your mobile?
Yeah, he did, apparently. I'm not going to say why he couldn't get through, because, look, there's a story. But anyway, so basically, long story short, then I had to kind of rig up a thing so that my laptop would be at a height where the camera on my laptop would be able to see me, and I'd be able to talk to him, and I'd be hands-free, essentially, so I wouldn't be holding a laptop and that. So it just so happened my ma had just got a delivery for the company, and there was a lot of boxes around that hadn't been, like, brought down to the shop yet. So I was like, right, stack that on that. Laptop sits there. Beautiful. Golden. So I made a makeshift table in my sitting room so I could watch the Rugby World Cup, which was on at the same time. And then lo and behold, I get this edition on Skype. And it starts to ring, and I answer it. And at first I can just see my face in the little small box. And then there's the photo, yeah. And then out of nowhere, then I just see Chael standing on the screen. He's like, hey, buddy. And I'm like, all right, Chael. How are you?
With your deadly smile, he was probably like, look at this little
kid. Yeah, it was, man. I was grinning like a big cat. It was deadly. So,
That's
real
sweet of
John. I don't know how he does these things, but every so often he pulls stuff out of the bag. It's unbelievable. So, myself and Chael had a good chat for about.
Did you get a Chael t-shirt or something?
I think that's what John O'Donnell, I think there was some sort of thing on the website that if...
I think Shell says, oh, if you buy this t-shirt, you're the first 20, I'll give you a call. Or
I think it was something like that.
Give you a text or I'll give you a Skype.
I think it was something like that. And of course, John O'Donnell being John O'Donnell, he decided, you know what I'm going to do? But I'll chance my arm and I'll push the boat out a little bit and see if I can organise something different with it. And look, he pulled it off, so I'm not complaining.
So Shell Sonnen, for people who don't know...
Yeah, sorry, Chael Sonnen is...
former UFC
fighter. The man who was the biggest draw at one point, he absolutely... He basically... The whole thing, the whole draw of McGregor and his smack talk, as they call it, and all that sort of stuff, basically, Chael Sonnen was doing that before Conor McGregor was. This is a man who went to Brazil with, like, you know, those fake mustaches, fake nose, fake glasses, and was like... I've had to come in here in disguise because even the army are out to get me because I just speak the truth. You know, I grew up in America where we had the latest in technology and I look at the kids now and those kids have iPhones and they've got this and they've got that. And he started listening to all the stuff and he goes, and then I land in Brazil and I look at the kids and they're sitting in the dirt. And he's saying this in Brazil. And then he starts slating the Nogueira brothers and Anderson Silva, which when it comes to MMA in Brazil is royalty.
He's very much like an old school pro wrestling
character. He cuts promos
He cuts promos. He's very much, in my eyes, he's very much like Stone Cold Steve Austin at the height of it. Like in that, I'll do what I want when I want. And
he's absolutely brilliant. I love him. I absolutely love him.
He's also a pedhead.
Yeah, but look, in fairness to him, and that day, that hurt me for a while because he was my favourite fighter. Like, I just absolutely loved him. And then the whole, he tested positive, and then he had
a second test. You're going to name a dog, Chael, at one point, weren't you?
I was going to name me dog. I still am going to name me next dog. Cleo's still going strong, so I don't want Cleo to hear this and think about him.
Is the second time we've talked about Cleo's decline. I'm not happy with this.
Look, she's 10 and she's had cancer twice. Like, you know,
so she's a fucking trooper.
She is a trooper. But
she listened to this in the kitchen.
Yeah, she will when I'm editing it. Yeah.
Block your ears.
It's weird, right? It's weird because sometimes, like, I'll have to leave the room, like, I'll run out to the away and I'll still be playing or whatever, and I'll come in and she'll just be looking at the laptop. And she'll just be looking at it. And then I'll walk in and she'll look at me and look back at the laptop and say, why are you talking here? Dogs are deadly. But
I love your dog. I love the Snapchats of your dog.
Did you see the one the other day? Hashtag squats. I took a Snapchat of Cleo having a poo.
Oh, I did see.
Hashtag squats. Anyway. But the whole Chael Sonnen thing. Basically, he's... Yeah, so all that got organised anyway, and look, the long and the short of it is, it's not the last we've heard of Chael Sonnen in these parts.
No.
Not saying anymore, I'm just saying there's a lot going on in the background, and there's a big fight coming up, and maybe, just maybe, Uncle Chael might be having a little conversation around these parts someday in the near future, but I'm not saying anything more than that. on that topic, actually, on the topic as well, I need to give a quick shout out. We don't normally do shout outs, but Dylan in Everest Music and Bray, I went down a slight dilemma in terms of getting stuff set up for this podcast and that kind of thing, and he hooked me right up, helped me right out. So
nice.
Talking to him about it, and he has asked me about the podcast and had a little chat with him then about, he listens to a lot of MMA podcasts and that, and he said he's going to check us out. So maybe Dylan, and thanks for all your help, mate. I'll be back down to Everest Music any day because you're a gent. Yeah, fair play.
There was a couple of tweets saying first time listener and all that, wasn't there? This week?
Yeah, a few people have said
a lot of traffic.
It's nice to be doing shout outs to people that are relevant as opposed to the Ballybrack Messi, if we normally give shout outs to, that just literally bully us on Twitter.
Dropping more so.
Yeah, no, I think in fairness, it seems like there's a lot of people.
There's
a lot of people in fairness. Like Paul Howard actually is plugging us like mad as well. Rosser. But also, there's a lot of other people out there, so thanks to me for all the support. But anyway, the Chael Sonnen thing, we'll dust that off. That's hopefully going to go ahead soon. We'll keep you posted on that when we can. But we've a lot coming up, lads. We've a lot of good ones coming up. We've David Norris coming up as well soon. We don't normally kind of reveal too much because how was it me, Holland, were here to put it to us? You don't...
Oh, yeah.
He had a brilliant turn of phrase. I love that, man. It was something like you don't something the chicken before it's...
I'm going to have to find it because it's annoying.
It was a brilliant one. Like, but essentially, the long and short of it is you don't kind of say what you have until you have it. Like, you know what I mean? So normally we don't like to reveal until we have everything bang on and confirmed with the guests. But I think some of these...
That's pretty much confirmed, though.
Yeah, more or less. We've have everything kind of cemented in. And we have a couple of other big ones coming up. Like, so it's a good time for us coming up to Christmas as well. Like, we're definitely going to have a few surprises along the way, I think.
Well, there's another way I don't know a lot about rugby.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I know about rugby, and that is a man named Sonny Bill.
Sonny Bill.
He is so dreamy.
He is absolutely.
And he's on my list of people that I'm allowed to step out with if the opportunity presents.
He's on my list of people I'm allowed to step out with.
He's on your list.
I'm not, I've been talking to people about Sonny Bill Williams for about 6 years now. And do you know much about him?
I know what he looks like. Topless.
He's a dreamboat, isn't he, though? Like,
but listen, so he pulled on the fickle strings, but at the weekend he pulled on the ovary strings.
Oh, definitely. Jesus. Yeah, definitely. He's an absolute dreamboat and an all-round good guy. Like, essentially, for anybody who doesn't watch the egg chasing or didn't watch the Rugby World Cup final, it was a good match. In fairness, it was one of the best finals in the history of the Rugby World Cup. It's gone since 1987, same as yourself.
Sorry, but yeah. I found that quote that Michal said to
go
us.
On, go on.
Michal said to us, the chicken never cackles until the egg is laid.
There you go, oh, that's the go. One. So,
oh, Michal.
Great bloke.
Michal would have loved Sonny Bill did at the weekend.
Absolutely. So basically what happened was, after the match, New Zealand had won. I tipped Australia. Look, they got to the final. It wasn't too far off. But New Zealand had won. And they were doing their kind of lap of honour situation. And an enthusiastic child broke through the guard, like a Sonny Bill Williams breaking a tackle, sprinted towards the try line being the All Blacks as they'd done their parade, only for a big man, Nonu-sized guard, to butcher this child. Like, he proper,
spared him, didn't he?
Proper got rugby tackled, like.
Only doing his job, though, in fairness.
He was only doing his job. And if that had been a fully grown man running onto the pitch, people would have applauded that security guard. But there's a time and a place, security guard, and you, like, you got them fierce mixed up.
Excessive force is a phrase we like
exactly.
to hear.
Yeah. But anyway, it happened right in front of Nehe Milne, Scudder and Sonny Bill. And Sonny Bill intervened in the situation, put his arm around the boy and assured him everything was going to be all right. Walked him back to the stand, back to the embrace of, it was his parents or family members of some sort at least. And before he let him go, he took off the winner's medal, which was just planted on his neck moments before, and gave it to this young fan.
Crazy.
A World Cup winner's medal. And just, he was like,
you
know.
Got an All Blacks woolly hat as well.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
The other players.
And he was like, look, there's a story to tell someone. Boom. On it goes. Now, thankfully, he's
the
been
kid,
given.
I think, was expecting for Sonny to take the medal back.
Yeah, probably.
He
was
walked
like,
off and he's
yeah.
like.
I think he was almost expecting just for a photo
for a
here.
Photo,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But then Sonny walked out. But the guy is like. To put into context how good an athlete this guy is, he's a champion boxer. He plays rugby league as well. Now New Zealand lost in the last Rugby League World Cup, so I think he's going to go back and give that a go in 2 years' time to see if he can have two Rugby Union World Cup medals, a Rugby League World Cup medal, and he's now going to play sevens in Rio 2016. So potentially this could be a champion boxer, Rugby World Cup winner, Rugby League World Cup winner and an Olympic gold medalist.
Imagine.
And,
in the body of an Adonis.
How old is he?
I think he's about 27, 28 now. He could be a little bit older, actually, because he's been around a while, but he's an unbelievable talent.
There was a cynical article written in The Guardian.
Oh, it was The Guardian.
Did you read it?
That he ruined sports.
It was quite cynical. I don't know whether it was
tongue-in-cheek. Was it tongue-in-cheek?
I think
it was
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but it was kind of saying, like, you know, athletes work so hard for medals, not to just give them away and stuff like that. Sonny Bill was putting pressure on the next athlete.
Sorry, he's 30 now. Sorry, apologies. He turned 30 in August.
He's going to put pressure on, I don't know, like someone who wins the World Cup, that they'll be pressured now to give their medal away.
He's not the first person, he's not the last person to discard of a medal in any way, shape,
Didn't
or form.
Some soccer player do it in the 80s.
Mourinho did it in the Champions League.
I was
going
to say, Mourinho done it, he threw it into the crowd. And
Premier League medal, wasn't it?
Premier League medal. Yeah. And other people have done it as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, look, at the end of the day, Sonny Bill Williams won a World Cup 4 years ago, and it's the second one he's won. If he felt it fitting, who was anybody to say anything negative about that? Like,
and the thing is, it's more like, for me anyway, when I win stuff now, it's not the medal or the belt or the trophy, it's the act of winning. So not having the medal doesn't take away the fact that he won that World Cup, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I come home with medals or trophies or whatever, and I give them to my dad, and he loves them, he has it all displayed and blah, blah, blah. But I wouldn't be too fussed about not getting. I'm more interested in winning than the trophy wear.
Yeah, you know, and I suppose maybe it's a thing of the further you get into your career, the less you're worried about the hardware and the more you're worried about just kind of your own validation more so than anything else.
I often wonder now, though, like when I'm older and maybe when he's older,
would you regret it?
Would I?
But see, Sonny's out there getting a replacement medal at the World Rugby Awards.
Right. Yeah.
He got a replacement on Sunday evening.
Which I think
that stuff mean more to you when you're not winning it anymore. You know, if you're tired or whatever.
I don't know, and I suppose none of us can talk for Sonny Bill Williams, but I think at the end of the day, what he done was a beautiful gesture. That kid now has something that, even on his deathbed, that's a memory he'll, you know what I mean?
Like, however, that kid was rewarded for doing something very bold, and my inner mother just doesn't want...
Would you say it is something very bold, or would you say that's somebody who is witnessing what is probably one of the greatest moments in terms of sport that they've ever witnessed, their team winning the biggest tournament they could possibly win, getting caught up in the euphoria and just wanting 2 minutes with his heroes?
Because he used to be deadly at the All-Ireland Final when the winning team's fans used to raid... Go on the pitch.
Yeah, not allowed to do that anymore. Who would have thought a little bit of yellow plastic would stop people from getting onto a pitch with a few guards behind it? I mean, I thought Irish people were craftier than that, man.
Yeah. But speaking of like throwing away your medals and not keeping them, and then in years to come you might regret it. Do you keep birthday cards?
I do. Yeah. Oh, well, from particular
when you used to get your photos developed, do you keep them?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
There's a sentimentality to that. Like,
do you keep birthday cards?
I don't, but I have two birthday cards that I've kept for years and years and years and years for sentimentality.
Okay. Mm. I often wonder, because sometimes, I think I kept cards from my 21st and my 30th, but...
And I wouldn't keep them, but only just like from, say, I often just think that they're dust collectors.
Photos, though,
I love, like, I just, at the weekend there, I just moved back in with my parents, and my mum has, you know, the old roses tins or the Macaulay.
Yeah.
Full of photos, and I was looking for a photo for something I was doing, and me and my dad lost 2 days just looking through. It was brilliant looking through all those photos. Like, you don't get that anymore.
No, you don't. My ma has a big
smartphone.
I think it was like a bag that, like, say a duvet set or something came in. Like, it's big, huge, clear, heavy duty bag. Yeah. Like, and that is full of like photos from when she was a kid, photos from when all my cousins were kids, everything. And as like grandparents and her aunts and uncles have passed away, some of the photos have filtered away into her house. And there are times where she'll just decide she wants to look for a certain photo and that big old bag will be pulled out. And I mean, there's literally hundreds of photos in this. We'll spend a day just going through and looking at them, laughing and crying and to remember that. And do you know what I mean? Like, this is where I'm going to sound like crying.
Like, would you cry with your man looking at the photos?
Yeah, man. I think a good cry doesn't do anybody any harm at times. Like,
it does, but I'm just...
This is funny because my dad, this came up in the car with my dad at the weekend. He was talking about, we'll just brush over this quick and let's not get carried away, but he was talking about people putting up Facebook pages for dead people because my dad is new to Facebook, and he was going, what the hell is that? And I was like, I know, Dad. But anyway, we were chatting away and he was like, his dad and his sister are both dead, and he's like, I couldn't look at photos of them. It would really, really upset me. And I wouldn't. And he was like, I can't imagine every time I go on the internet. And then he was saying, imagine your dad was famous and he was on the telly all the time and he was dead. It'd be just terrible hard, you know?
Be hard, yeah. Mm. Like, for me, like, I was really close to me granny, like, and...
Your dad's ma, yeah.
Like, I think I would have been close to my dad's ma, but, like, she had Alzheimer's from the time I was nearly, like, I was a kid, like, so the relationship was strained. Like, not strained, but, I mean, it's not her fault.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? There's actually a very funny story about that. I'll talk about that in a sec. But, like, I've got about maybe 5 photos with me granny, like, in kind of, like, a little box that I have a horse stuff in it from. Like, I used to go on me holidays to me granny's gaff and spend the weekends down there and all when I was young, like. But, I mean, I'd say, other than those sort of 5 or 6 photos that I see all the time, any of the other photos I see, like, it's hard not to kind of get a little bit of nostalgia or, you know, a little bit glassy-eyed at times, like, you know. But me dad's mad, me granny Maureen, she had Alzheimer's, and I remember the older I got, we went to see her in a nursing home and that, and Alzheimer's is a terrible, terrible disease, that's. But my dad always said to me, look, there's 2 ways you can look at it. You can either get upset about it, or, you know, you can try and give them a laugh and give yourself a laugh as well, like, because people with Alzheimer's can get very confused as well, and it's awful for them, like, as much as it is for, you know, their loved ones seeing them go through that, like. So I got to the point where she had long since lost any kind of track of who I was, whatever, but she'd started to lose track of who my dad was as well. So my dad used to bribe her into remembering by giving her an ice cream. Right? So we, I swear to God, so we go see her and he'd turn up and we'd go in and she'd be looking at him a bit funny, like, and it'd be kind of like, he'd be like, do you know who I am? She'd be like, yeah, yeah. All right, which one am I? She'd be like, Joseph. No, I'm not Joseph. And, like, you could tell she was going through, like, her children's names in the head, you know what I mean? And he's like, now, you're nearly there with Joe, because Joe would be my dad's older brother, like.
Yeah.
And then he'd take the ice cream out from behind at his back. And, like, it was gas to watch her, because she'd be like, you are Eugene. And, do you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of funny in a way, like, do you know what I mean? Cute. So, yeah, exactly.
Nice.
But
there's nice way of looking at it as well. Like,
yeah, I think
laughter goes a long way.
Exactly. You know, yeah, like does. You know, there's a lot of stuff there. Like, look, it is, and I'm not trying to belittle or make fun of what is a terrible thing. And there's people probably who have somebody in their family now who they're experiencing it. Like, and it is terrible, and my heart goes out to anybody who has to live through it. But the one thing I remember from it is, like, look, you know, get upset about it and see them, let them see you getting upset and all that sort of stuff. Or, you know, look, try and make the best of a bad situation.
But sure, you could be getting upset in front of them and then they could just turn nasty on you.
That's true,
or
as well.
And what
actually,
you're upset about.
They could be like, would you fucking stop that? Because, well, I know we spoke about them earlier on, but Louis Theroux has a great documentary on dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And like that, it's heartbreaking. It's in America, and it's shown. He's going to, like, a couple in their 80s, and the wife has Alzheimer's, and the husband doesn't, and he's caring for her. And she hasn't a clue who he is, and he's like shown nostalgic photographs of him going to the ball and going dancing and all, and it's heartbreaking. She would just turn on him sometimes, sometimes even start slapping him.
Well, I think it's attached to a part of your brain that. Anger is associated with it.
Yeah, like I think they get frustrated as well. Like, yeah. But like, just another quick one. Like, not gonna turn this into nostalgia or about my family or anything. But like, my dad has a big family. Like, there's 9 brothers and sisters. Like, and they used to kind of
thought there was just
and just the one.
You missed a few.
Like,
my dad's family's huge.
Yeah, I think I've got like 70 something cousins. Like, I think of. But anyway. So they used to kind of take it in turns, like on the weekends, of who would take me nanny. So she'd get out of the nursing home, or she'd get out of the house and all that. Like, so she lived with my auntie Gay and my uncle Martin, and then they'd take it in turns on the weekends or whatever. And she was up in her house one weekend, and she decided she wanted a chipper. So myself and Mark Brock went to get her a chipper. She wanted a spice burger and chips. A fresh fillet of cod and chips. And we went up and came back, put it on a plate, put it in front of her, and she looks at it, and she looks at Brock, and she looks at it, and she goes, "That's not a fucking spice burger, you dick." So Brock was like, "All right, sorry." And he just brought out, put it into the kitchen, and he was like,
"How old are you?"
Oh man, I'd say we were about 11 or 12, maybe.
Hilarious.
And so he didn't know what was going on. So we went back into the sitting room anyway. And the second he walks back in the door, she's like, "Did you get me fish and chips or what?" He didn't know what to do. He didn't, like, so, yeah.
And was that, she didn't have Alzheimer's at that point?
No, she did, yeah. That's what I'm saying. She had Alzheimer's.
She wasn't sure what she'd ordered. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
she just.
Of course. So I thought she was just being awkward.
No, but yeah, that was. Jesus, yeah, so there you go.
Did you watch any game shows?
I don't know, to be honest with you, but if she did, like,
always at that age, that game shows were the thing.
Speaking of nostalgia,
I love Lads. I'm telling you, do you ever watch Pointless?
No, I don't watch any.
Like, it does be on the odd time, but it's always on the same time as The Chase, and I love.
Oh, I do
the
like The
Chase. The only game show I watch is Eggheads, and I rarely watch it.
Really? Are you not
Eggheads
into?
Eggheads is not modern.
Is it not modern?
Well, it's gone a while. I think there's new episodes.
What I'm talking about, my game show catalogue would be Blockbusters and Strike It Rich and the Krypton Factor.
Ah,
Catchphrase.
It's new. Catchphrase. It's new in comparison to those.
Yeah.
No, I'm mad for, like, The Cube, and I'm mad for, like, the Pointless and The Chase. I like The Chase.
The
and
Cube
all them
now. You know, there's, like, an entertainment group that do The Cube for charity.
Yeah,
like,
you can have it.
I think it's the same group that used to do that. Who Wants to Be a Thousandaire? They used to.
I think it is.
Thing.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Because
yeah.
My auntie Siobhan did it up in Fitzpatrick's Castle there recently.
Oh, yeah. I'd be awful at it. I'd be out of no hand-eye coordination and nothing.
She didn't do too well.
I am too much of a sore loser. There'd be chairs thrown and everything.
Yeah, I'd be awful at it.
He was like, you were the worst on the night. So I was like, no, I wasn't. I did it in 26 seconds or something.
Right.
And my granny's like, nope, 24. any difference in 2 seconds.
Sure, that, look, that can make all the difference.
I don't even know
Christmas just gone, I discovered catchphrase for the iPad. And me and my friend Adi and her husband Richie and his best friend Billy lost, I'd say, about 6 hours playing catchphrase.
That I've
brilliant.
Not with catchphrase. I've done it with, there's an app you can get called Quiz Up, which is basically just a giant pub quiz. There's all different categories you can go into. Like, so, like, I mean, from, I'm talking like a specific category about the Beastie Boys to a specific category about the Spice Girls to a like everything. Like, so I literally spent days just on this, just fastest finger, first shit. Just like me left thumb was just like reactive, solid. Man.
Yeah,
it was
only a few weeks ago
I was
at a dinner party in Austin's, and we had an app on, and you put the iPhone on your forehead, and like your category might be animals.
Game, yeah.
And
it's a great drinking game.
So, yeah. So you'd be like, if
what was drinking coconut water?
Hang on, is this the one where you, like a name, you get
yeah,
a
yeah, but you put your phone and you tap, when you get it right, you tap forward, and when it, you want to pass it, you tap back. And it's really
yeah, we used to just do that with a pen and paper.
Yeah, this is modern.
We didn't work there last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we always don't work.
My brother has twins and they're like 6 or something, and I was playing with them, a similar game to them, but it was old school. It was like Disney princesses type ones. And they were like, we were all playing, but the twins just can't, like, you're a broccoli. And we're like, no, girls, don't be telling each other. Your one is Sleeping Beauty. And you're like, shh.
Shut up.
It's gas that your man that created that app probably is a millionaire now.
Yeah. We are actually today in work, we are playing it myself and Nia Freeney. We were trying to pass the time. And I gave her, I was Mattress Mick. And like she had to guess Mattress Mick. Like, and
Who's Mattress Mick?
Have you never heard of Mattress Mick? Have people never heard of Mattress Mick?
No. He sells mattresses.
He's fighting hang on. He doesn't just sell them. He is fighting the war on the price of mattresses.
What?
Just whip out your phone there and just Google Mattress Mick. He is the most desired. If you think Sonny.
He's got a mad ad, is it?
He does, yeah. If you think Sonny Bill Williams, he's the most Irish thing since the potato.
All right.
If you think Sonny Bill Williams is hot, wait, you have a look at our Mattress Mick.
Mattress Mick, second one up on me.
Yeah. When you see the head on this lad, he looks like he's a cabbage. He's like, I'm amazed people haven't heard of this man yet, like, because...
Ah, Jesus Christ.
But, like...
He looks like that culty politician, what do you call him?
I don't know.
Mick Wallace?
He doesn't look like... He looks like Richie Kavanagh. Remember Richie Kavanagh? Ain't fuckle dog, fuckle Craig, fuckle... That's who he looks like.
He has a song about the Aldis and the Littles.
Is there any chance we're going to get him on in the future?
I wouldn't bring him on if he paid me.
I think he looks like a sex offender.
Mattress Mick?
Wow, okay, that's libelous, Lindsay. You should know that with your law background.
Who would you not get on?
Mattress
Mick?
Yeah. What am I going to do? Talk about the Springs and the Dream Night 4000 or something like?
Ask, does he like waterbeds?
Who doesn't like a waterbed?
Did you sell waterbeds?
I'm sure they do, yeah.
Wake up on an Irish made mattress from Mattress Mick.
An Irish made mattress.
The mattress price fighter.
There you go. He's getting free advertising now. We better stop this.
Yes. I also loved Strike It Lucky.
I don't remember that.
I can't remember.
Michael Barrymore.
No, I don't remember that. Yeah. I used to love Supermarket Sweep.
You can't remember Strike It Lucky?
No, I remember Supermarket Sweep with Michael Barrymore, though. I know that was Dale Winton, wasn't it? Yeah. Different person.
Supermarket Sweep.
Next time to check out, peeps. It could be you. That kind of stuff. Used to love that, and they'd always go for the giant banana or the giant inflatable pineapple.
You'd always wish you could do that.
I would have loved to have done it when I was a kid.
You just put the arm out on the aisle.
I'm not even mad. When I was a kid, and I used to, like, if you were off sick from school and you were supermarket sweeping, I used to be delighted to get the same man down's bed all day. Yeah.
Just wondering, how could they not fill the trolley? Like, how could you?
Yeah, exactly. I'd
be going back for the Tour de Four trolley.
I would literally just get my arm into the shelf and scoop, literally just scoop it all in, and away you go.
One of my pet hates is food shopping. As much as I love food shopping, it's literally a smash and grab, and I think a Supermarket Sweep when I'm shopping. Yeah.
That's because you don't have patience, though.
I know.
No, but I've had to start doing this because I'm a whore for going into a shop hungry, and therefore going, I don't know what I want, and I'll go in with a tenner in my pocket, and I'll get to the till and realise...
You have to go to the bank.
Better get the laser card out. And then, I don't know how, I don't know why, but somehow or another, I've managed to spend €60 in Tesco, and all I went in to get was chicken breasts. John, I'm like, what did I buy?
There was no
like,
sweets on that 60 euro.
It was probably about 40 quid worth of
sweets. I bumped into Mark Brock in Tesco the other day, actually, and he quickly hit his basket.
Mark Brock?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's the gas thing when I'm in Tesco and Ballyrack, and someone's like, "Hi, Lindsay," and they walk away from me at speed with the basket in front of them.
Yeah, but hang on, I've got the fear a few times where I've gone, if I turn the corner and Doyle is there, I'm goosed.
But how do you think I feel if I'm having a night off and I'm like, I'll grab some chocolate or something? Oh, some
Ben and Jerry's I would love to catch you.
No, but you see, it's different because like
Greystone's Tesco to get me.
No, because like for you, I'd say people would be like, yeah, like that's probably the one time she's ever even bought it. She's probably only buying it to try it. She doesn't even know she likes it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas there, like Jesus, I'm in here buying a slab of dairy milk and shirt. Like I'm only in here because I'm waiting for me curry from George. You know what I mean? Like the Chinese next door to Tesco, they've gone in, ordered that, and then ran in. Like
I was in when I first joined the gym a couple of years ago. I was hungover on a Sunday. Me and my brother went down to McDonald's in Dunleary.
You got spotted straight away.
Carl then wanted to go off to Tesco, and we were getting sweets and all in Tesco. So Carl went into Tesco, and then I think I got two hamburgers or something. And I was sitting there in the car. Carl went into Tesco, and I'm sitting there eating the burgers. Next minute, James walks by, and I'm like, "Oh,
is it James the owner from here?"
James the owner of Elite. Comes over and went mad at me. And then,
oh, no way.
And then before I'd even left the Tesco's, I get a phone call from Doyler. What were you eating just there? Oh, I was like, oh, for Jesus sake, you can't do
that.
It's a small world.
And I was like, I can eat what I want, when I want.
We're going back a couple of months now, and we're driving home. I driving back up from Cube's Gaff, like we're coming back up here, and she's like, do you know what, I just really want a KFC. And I was like, no, not a chance. And she's like, no, I just really want KFC.
KFC's rotten.
So I was like, right, go on, there's a drive through in Carrickmines.
Whoever wants KFC?
Right, I used to want KFC. Hang on, lads, KFC gravy is unbelievable. I don't
gravy.
Care.
They do gravy?
They do gravy, and it's delicious.
Do you put gravy on your chips?
You put it on the chicken as well, then. Anyway.
It's rotten. It's disgusting.
Anyway, right, so.
Sweet corn is nice.
So,
corn on the cob.
I wouldn't eat. Like, if I'm going to a fast food place, I'm not ordering vegetables. Like. But
would you not get a wrap around? No,
I have got a wrap, and to me, it's just pointless because it's still deep fried chicken. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So, but we're going in anyway, and I said, look, we'll whip through the drive through, we'll get you what you want, and whatever. And I got to the window, and your man was like, well, I'll get you. And I ordered every cube's order, and it's like, and give us three boneless strips as well, there, mate. Well, little chicken strip type things, yeah, right? Yeah. And then it's like, and I swear to God, like, as I was driving, I was, like, looking over my shoulder in case, like oh, no way. Imagine, like, Lindsay was up here. Somebody who knows Lindsay or something. Like. And I was like, my God, that's the only drive-thru I can go to. It was, like, a Newbridge or something where it's safe. Like.
And likely I'd be down there training at night or something random.
Yeah, exactly. It'd just be the most random thing ever. As I'm walking away, me bargain book if I won, like, do you know what I mean? Under my arm.
in the height of your, say, unhealthiness.
Yeah.
What was the most ordered in, say, McDonald's or anything like that?
Oh, Jesus.
In one sitting.
I'm going to start sweating even.
We do this talking late at night, and then I'd be starving.
Yeah, it's not a good time to do it. Like,
you don't be get hungry for
that. I know, but I'm still hungry.
We go up to Cardiff Mines after this.
Yeah, McDonald's is 24 hours. now, I had me chicken and broccoli before I came down here. No sauce or nothing.
No?
No, not even a tap of sauce tonight.
If I would expect to eat dry chicken and broccoli if I murdered someone and was in prison.
No spice, no sauce, no nothing. No, I put spice on the chicken, but you season it, like, do you know what I mean? But I don't do sauces like I used to. Like.
Yeah. Go back to my question.
Sorry, yeah. I don't know, like, I was never mad about getting a huge amount from McDonald's, but from a takeaway, like a pizza or a delivery situation, like, I'd easily have got, I'd say, enough for 3 or 4 people, like.
And you'd eat it?
I don't know, without anything left over? No. It'll depend on what I got, like. But, you know, I mean, I'd give it a fair lash.
Like, if you were getting Domino's, you'd get a meal deal for 4.
Oh, no. If I was getting Domino's, it would have been a meal deal for 2.
I thought you were going to say for 5.
Meal deal for 4. Crazy.
No, it'd be a meal deal for 2. Like, you get, like, I don't even know what size piece it was. It wasn't the smallest one anyway. And you'd get, like, garlic bread and wedges and that sort of stuff. And, like, a large bottle of Coke or something. And all that sort of stuff.
An ice cream.
No, I'd get cookies.
Oh, I used to love
it. If I was getting a dessert, yeah, I'd go for the cookies. Like,
yeah, I used to love the cookies.
Like, it's mad, like, because, I mean, like, I'm training with you a year, basically, now. Like, so, like, the whole reason that this whole thing started was, part of it, anyway, was the wedding that we've been talking about a bit over the last couple of weeks, which is actually this weekend. Like, as you're listening to this, we're probably in bed dying after a wedding.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole thing was that I basically didn't want me mate to have to buy a tent and get that tailored into a suit for me, like.
That tickles Mero every time.
Yeah, so, and the good news is he hasn't had to do that. Yeah, so, when I went down originally for the first fitting in January, yeah, like, you know, everybody's wearing a navy suit and tents come in navy. So I presume that would have been the option. Like.
Classic.
So, which in a way probably would have been better because he's getting married in November and tents are waterproof. So we probably would have been grand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But anyway, but
setting you up at night though in the dark. It's hard
that's true.
Was
actually.
Was that when you were faced with that? Was that a bit heartbreaking? Like, was that kind of going?
Was that the eureka moment that people talk about?
I don't know if it was the eureka moment, but I mean, like, you get to a point where you can no longer buy clothes in a normal shop and it kind of hits you then, like, do you know what I mean? So. Well, like in January when we went for the first fitting, like your man didn't have a jacket that would even go on me. You know what I mean? So like that's a bit kind of, and especially when you're there with your mates and you try to kind of pass it off and that, but like inside, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you try to pass it off?
There's no passing it off.
Just kind of, you know, yeah, you kind of either like try and make a joke of it or kind of you just act like it's not a big deal or whatever, as if, oh, I can't believe that you don't have a jacket that fits me. Like everywhere has jackets that fit me. Like when in truth, you haven't bought a jacket in Jack and Jones in about 7 years. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And did you just have a conversation at all yourself?
No, not at all, because I think other people feel more awkward than you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you, it was just left to your own.
Yeah, kind of like, no. It's that very typical Irish thing of, like, nobody talks about it. Do you know what I mean? Just everybody just sort of moves along and sort of, like, any plans for the weekend? That kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, like, myself and Mark have talked about it, because, like, Mark's my best mate. I've known him all my life, like, so we would have talked about it a bit and that kind of thing. And, you know, like, but in terms of, like, in-depth conversation with other people, no, I wouldn't say there was any of that anyway, like, no.
I used to keep on top of you, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Not literally.
I wish you did.
He was actually hoping you had a spare chair last
but
night.
Do
as
you,
yeah, Jesus.
Do you get people in the gym in Danny's situations a lot? Or
no, Danny's definitely the biggest person I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
Okay, he's right beside you.
It's the harshness of the reality of the situation now, Graham. Can't honest, get away from that. You know what I mean?
I was only talking about Danny. Who was I talking to earlier? One of my clients, Alison, was asking after you, and because when Danny started the blog, obviously a lot of my clients got involved, and were, like, everyone's very supportive here in this gym.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
in
know?
Fairness, like, even there's still people who even say to me, like, geez, fair play to keep going and that,
yeah,
like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because, like, I think, like, I tried different things, like, I joined gyms before, like, I tried diets before, I tried all that sort of stuff before, and...
Did you try diets before?
Yeah, yeah, I tried, you know, motivation, weight clinic.
No.
Yeah. They're like a fairly well known one. Like,
I'm
weaning
a woman off motivation shit right now.
It's like
you tried
protein bars a day.
You tried that TV show,
The Biggest Loser.
The Biggest Loser.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I was looking into that and all, and like you do, you kind of get these notions in your head of right, this is when I'm gonna do it. Like, and then that falls apart, and you know you suddenly put on another 3 stone. You go right, this is it now, and then that falls apart and.
But you see, that's why this fascinates me. Like, I obviously know all the science behind weight loss and training and stuff like that, but the psychology of it, like, so all this nonsense that you talk about is, so you have someone, say in Danny's situation, that's coming in, and from the minute they get out of bed till they go back to bed at night, everything in their life tells them they're a failure. You know, you...
Hang on.
You wake up. You're getting on the bus and you're worrying about the sea. You're, you know,
yeah,
you
yeah,
want to sit with your missus. You want to buy clothes. You have to go to a different thing and
flying.
You know, you know, you're not normal or whatever it might be. So then you get that person in and you go, okay, I'd like you to now eat. Go from your perhaps. Now it mightn't have been every day, but maybe 5,000 calories or over the week. It might have been 40,000. So it might have been 2 or 3 good days and then a lot of binging. And then you put them on like a fucking 1,000 calories a day and expect them not to fail. And then what happens is you set the bar too high, they fail and they go, here I am, I'm failing again. and the wheels come off and they go back to square one. So anything that I've done with Danny, and what I do with most people, and
it's all psychological, isn't it?
Even women that are just 7 pounds they want to lose, or whatever it is, you know, it's, I always like praise small achievements and just don't set them up for failure. Set, like, you know, it's,
yeah, like the thing for me, like, and again, I'm speaking for myself, I wouldn't dare speak for anybody else who's in any way near the situation that I've been in, like, but there's definitely, you're dead right, you do get an element to that. Like, for me, and I put this in the blog when we were doing the blogs before the podcast, like, if you're going somewhere, you nearly have to plan that before. Like, so if somebody makes a suggestion, you kind of go, have I been there before? Right, actually, like, and I don't mean to compare my situation to yours at all, but you spoke about before, we had Johnny Fulham on, about how if you're going somewhere, you have to think, does I have wheelchair access? Am I going to be able to get... You know, when you're morbidly obese, it's kind of similar. You're thinking, does that chair have arms? Will I fit? You know what I mean? Is it narrow? Is it this? Is it that? All these kind of things that you shouldn't have to think about, but you do, like, and... Yeah, like what you're saying there kind of makes sense. Like, and there are people who, and it's something I've said before, like, I know a lot of people would maybe get down or depressed about it. I never really did get down or depressed or any of that. Like, I just had this kind of acceptance of, look, it's on me. Like, I've put myself in this situation. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of got on with it. Like,
you're lucky that you're so tall as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I can carry it a bit. Yeah. Like, you know, that helps, I suppose.
Yeah, we talked to his knees about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
but that's the thing. That's what I was talking to Alison earlier. She was asking about you, and I was saying, you know, that you'd lost 35 kilos and we were flying, and I said, but more so because with the 35 kilos now you're so much more mobile that I can train you harder. Like, I couldn't have dreamt, I would have had to have a defibrillator on standby for you to do the workout you done yesterday with me, even 8 weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Like that's the thing. Like, I'm 35 kg lighter. I may not necessarily look it, you know, but, like, for me, I know, like this is a part I've never said before. Like, I was in a 56-inch waist trouser. Like, to put that in perspective, like, there's 12 inches in a foot. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't buy that off the rack, like.
No.
You know? So that's, like, even...
Where'd you have to...
Ah, that's fat man shops.
One of the Westlife guys' dad owned that Mr. Big and Mr. Small shop or something like that.
Mr. Big and Mr. 56
inch. So what inch are you now in waist?
I'm down to... Like, it depends, obviously, on, like, the manufacturer and that, but I'm down to about 48 now. Do you know what I mean? 48, 50, like, depending on, like, the trails, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so
that's the target, if you're going, like, by waist.
I don't have to keep going?
Or?
Yeah, like I said, like, when I first started this, I wanted to, like, half my weight, because I was 200 kilos. So I was like, I want to half my weight, that's what I'm aiming for, like, but to be honest, the target thing is gone, and more so, no, I just want to feel better,
yeah,
like,
the target. There shouldn't,
like,
really be,
you know, and
well,
that's,
and that's the thing that I always, and I think that's why me and you clicked, Dan, and that's why you're still here and you will be still here, is functionality is always my first objective.
Yeah, and that's,
and your weight or your waist size or whatever, physically how you look will be for me a result of how internally and functional you are, health wise and mobility wise, you know.
Like I look at it in kind of phases, and like when I first started with you, like, I couldn't walk up one flight of stairs without literally, you know, beads of sweat and being out of breath, like.
Yeah, even in your house, like.
Yeah, even in my house, like, yeah, yeah. Like, I used to make a joke of it, like, you know, like, if I go down to Cube's calf, like, and she'd be up in her room, and I'd go up the stairs and get in, but the time I get into her bedroom, like, I'd be out of breath, and she'd be like, do you see you out of breath? And I was like, oh, I ran up the stairs. No, I didn't. I haven't ran since about 2002, like.
You're fucking running yesterday with the prowler.
John, but that's what I was going to say, that, like, the thing I'm noticing most is that, like, yeah, look, I have to buy some new clothes, and some of the clothes that I had before that didn't fit me now fit me, or I can get into stuff that I'd bought, do you know what I mean, all that sort of stuff.
Like, can I ask, like, did your parents ever address it to you?
Like, Like, me ma would say...
To a row then and just say, No, not really,
because I know that they were just doing it for my best interest, like.
Yeah.
Me dad in particular would always say it in a way of kind of like, look, I think you need to cop on, like. Yeah. But in a, you know...
In an Irish dad way.
I was going to say, yeah, in a kind of Irish dad way. It's not that you have that kind of unspoken kind of like, I love you, dad, but we're never going to say it kind of way. Yeah. Like, and when it comes to an awkward thing where it's a bit sensitive, it's kind of said in a kind of jokey, but you know they're not joking, they're saying it because they want you to actually hear what they're saying kind of way.
So get the message across.
Yeah, so things like that, you know what I mean? And I don't think anybody ever said that to me that was, you know, cruel to be kind. I think anytime anybody ever said that to me, like, was always in a kind of, like, look, we're just saying if you're on go kind of way, like, you
because
know.
Because we love you, everyone.
Something like that, you know what I mean? But kind of just to jump back to what you were saying a second ago, Lynn, like the thing that is most comparable for me with all this is like, if I look at even, as I said, even 8 weeks ago, like where I was in terms of what I can do and all that, like besides the odd time where we need, besides like today, we're not going to let you do anything.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I would have been able to do several prowlers. Like,
no.
Like, what are we doing? Twice up and back on the track. Like,
yeah, with, so 80 meters.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have been able to do once up and back and once up and back again. Like, whereas we're doing sets of two, like, and then we done, was it five of them?
Six.
So, like, even that for me, like, for somebody else who's mad fit and all, they're probably like, that's a warm up pad.
No.
Do you know what I mean? But, like.
Fucking beating egos for sure. So you see, I'm struggling as well, you know. So
yeah, but I'm more so happy about that than I am kind of, you know, seeing like, because in my
you
head like
things now, like
if that sort of stuff is working, then obviously I'm gonna see results elsewhere. Oh yeah, like, you know what I mean? Rather than having to buy, rather than having to buy 3XL, it's XL and that kind of stuff.
Is it getting more comfortable to travel by playing?
I don't fly planes that often, like, do you know what I mean? But
remember, there was a time where you were conscious.
Yeah, like, I still would be a little bit, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, if I look at it, say, we went to Vegas last September to McGregor Poirier.
Yeah.
If I look at that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't get the tray, you know, couldn't get that down at all. You know, like, literally jammed into the seat, like, to the point where, boy, once I get in, there's no moving. Like, I'm basically there for the flight unless the other person gets out of the seat and I can kind of wiggle quickly to give myself a respite. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To, we went this July a little bit more room, a little bit freer. Not by any means kind of like a normal person, like, do you know what I mean? Because I'm still carrying and I know I am. But, you know, and then if I look at...
We went to Edinburgh. Remember we
went to Edinburgh, and I've gone to the Rugby World Cup as well, like around about the same time. From the experience of it, I do think Aer Lingus chairs are a bit bigger, which, if you're going to travel, lads, if you want more comfort, use the Aer Lingus over Ryanair. Do you know what I mean? But, I mean, like, I've gone from a case where, like, I used to have to try and pretend and hide the seatbelt clip and say that it was fastened to, like, actually just having it fastened. Do you know what I mean?
Well.
So, like, it's a huge difference, like. It is a huge difference, but I'm not looking for pats on the back regarding that. It's more so just because.
No, but you should, like, it's a great story, and hopefully, like, people could be listening, like our two listeners in South Korea could be listening.
Yeah, look, and I mean,
I put a post up on Facebook last night just saying that I was proud of Danny smashing the prowler session and blah blah blah. And you've seen just a lot of random people commenting on it, go my own way, blah, blah, blah.
Like, it's great, and, like, but I do appreciate
anyone
that.
Anyone could
like
be listening, like I was saying. Anyone could be listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could be encouraging someone to do that. You're telling their story there about embarrassment in everyday life situations.
Yeah.
Someone could be listening and having the same experience.
And
so
thinking that nobody else.
I think it is an inspiring story.
For sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. What I love about Dan is it's not, like, take those kind of the shows like The Biggest Loser and that, where they take these people and just hide them away for, I don't know, 12 or 16 weeks, whatever it is, train them for 5 hours a day, underfeed them, they're on about 1,000 calories. They lose a shitload of weight and then they're just like, okay, the show's over, off you go home. And then
did you not have any, like, nutrition people on as kind of researchers or anything like that?
No, I think, like, they get guests on that show them a recipe or something.
I mean, even, like, I used to watch it and that, like, and you see them.
Like, it is an alright show, isn't it?
Like, no, it has its entertainment purposes. But, like,
you lose Sundays to it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you binge watch it. Like, yeah. But, I mean, even if you look at it, like, you have to wonder how much of it is got a corporate element to it as well, because, like the show was sponsored by Subway and they're all eating Subways. And I know, like, you know, they
is
have
the show sponsored by Subway?
Well, it was at the time, yeah. And I know that, like, Subway have this whole thing of, like, if you have, like, a 6-inch sub with this and this on it, it's this amount of calories and it's actually all right and all, but
I mean, with a Diet Coke.
Actually, you've hit the nail on the head there. My problem is The Biggest Loser promotes the whole calories in, calories out theory, which, if life was that simple, it would be amazing. But a calorie is not a calorie is a calorie, like, you know?
You should do one of, you know, your Facebook post. You should do something about, like, you should say something about calories, because a lot of people live by the gospel of calories. Yeah,
they live and die by it. Like,
they always live, like, they're always like checking the pack. Oh, that packet of Skips has 20 calories. I'm allowed to have that.
I would use them as a very kind of loose guideline towards kind of, like, I don't pay.
I never read calories at all.
No, I was going to say, I don't pay a huge amount of attention to them at all, because I'm more so just kind of into the mindset that you've given me of kind of like, look, eat, just try clean, like, just try healthy and good, like. But if it came to something, if it came to something that, like, you know, I was looking at something I've never read it before, and I was kind of thinking, like, you know, what's that like, kind of thing. Then, whereas beforehand, I would have just picked like the most unhealthy looking thing that was there. Like, now I'd kind of go, I know, look, try be a little bit clever about this, like
well, cinnamon buns in Vegas.
Say, oh, they were unbelievable.
What is it? What did you say?
We got cinnamon buns when we were in Vegas.
Oh, they
were
told me about
the size of a plate. They were unreal.
Delicious. And they toasted them in the oven, and oh my God. Sorry, go on. What?
These are killing me. Just like, say, an avocado, which is probably one of the most nutritious foods you could have. Like, it's full of good fats.
I cannot get into avocados.
But I like
they're very
guacamole.
High calories. So if you're looking at calories, you're going, geez, I'm not having a like in Slimming World, someone told me, and how I didn't just drive to the closest Slimming World rep and smack them in the face. they consider avocados, you know what they call them, sins or something?
No, sins is
In Slimming World. It's something
It is sins in Slimming World, sorry.
An avocado,
my mom's in
Slimming
World.
Something outrageous.
Don't you
like
dare say I'm bad about Slimming World. My mother's in it.
Fuck Slimming World. An avocado is 10 sins.
What?
So, like, say a Mars bar might be 8 sins and an avocado is 10.
No, come on now. Like, even I know. Do you know what I mean? Like, even
so
I am kind of...
You can realise my violent outburst then when hearing
like,
this news.
Like, I've started to realise the whole thing that you were saying, that, like, there's good fats, bad fats, and, like, you need good fats. You need them, like, do you know what I mean? So, like, that kind of thing, like, I've got my head around. Whereas before, when we first started, I was like, no, I'm fat. Surely I shouldn't be having more fat. That's bad. Like, whereas now I'm starting to cop on and go, all right, no, you need different types of fuel for different... Like, a car won't run with just petrol. You need oil. That whole conversation we had previously before. But with the Biggest Loser thing, like...
Well, tell us about you applying for that.
I don't even know. I think it was a sport.
Did you have
alone.
A phone interview or something?
Yeah, like, you send in an application and then they phone you and then it goes from there, like, do you know what I mean? But, like, even the application process for it, I think it was, like, 5 or 6 pages long. You just fill in kind of, you know, what to eat on a daily basis and, you know, how often would you exercise and what are your goals and do you have a mantra and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like X Factor in the sense that they're clearly looking for an emotional backstory because, you know, yeah, fair enough. The entire show was on the premise of kind of, you know, rotund people trying to be less rotund. And, like, it's, you know, but they obviously want an emotional sort of bow to that string. They want something that they can roll a video package and it's going to make Mary at home eating a tub of ice cream while watching this cry more than she's already crying. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's an emotional manipulation to all these shows, and that's...
For sure. Well, it's entertainment. They have to...
Exactly. I was going
to
say, like...
What if it was a lot of health, mentally stable people losing weight with a nice, mentally stable trainer instead of a lunatic
crazy
bully,
Bob,
as is Gillian Andrews, screaming at them, it wouldn't make for good TV.
Yeah, exactly. You know
but
I mean?
I find it negligent that they put these people in that state... Well, if you can imagine, you know, I always talk to you about your hormonal profile, like your thyroid being underactive and blah, 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 if you're under-eating. The absolute state those people will be in when they're finished. Okay, they've lost weight, but I worry about their organs, their testosterone levels or whatever. But and then there's no aftercare, or there doesn't seem to be, because evidenced by that article or documentary about the Biggest Losers, biggest regainers, or whatever it was called.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot of them who basically, it's almost like the yo-yo diet effect, where they basically balloon. Like, even this whole thing about people who get the gastric band thing, that surgery, like, even that, like, I've seen people who, to get that, the weight falls off them, literally gets up and runs off them.
Yeah.
But then...
There was actually a documentary about a girl on RTE.
The Magic Pill.
Go getting that done.
What's her name? She was on Damo and Ivor. I talked to her. But anyway, like, even that, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. If something works for you and it works for you, okay.
Wait till I tell you something outrageous. Quickly, before you move on from that gastric band.
Yeah.
There's an epidemic in America where there's bariatric surgeons doing a second gastric bypass on people.
There you go. This is what I'm getting to. If that fails, you've hit the Concord moment. You've hit the point of no return, in the sense of you've just had a major surgery whereby you've basically tried to reduce your stomach to the size of a small bag, like a little tiny 10 bag. Golf like. Ball. Do you know what I mean? And now, why did I compare it to the size of a drugs bag?
Yeah.
Jesus. But, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what, and that has now failed. You have now gone beyond that to the point whereby you're considering a second one. Like, you're putting your body under serious, serious stress. Like,
but it affects the pancreas and stuff like that. Like, they can't break down sugar. So,
yeah,
you know, you're not just shrinking your stomach. It's not that simple. And the problem with your stomach, or the good thing about your stomach, is it's a muscle. It can be trained. It can get bigger, you know. So they shrink up the stomach, and then over time, because they haven't fixed the source of the problem, which is the bad food choices or the bad food habits, or oftentimes it's the emotion and food connection, whatever it might be. So they just need to be as committed as they were in the first place to training their stomach to take more food again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the part of it, like, you know what I mean? And it's people who they'll say associate, like, if they're on the phone to somebody having a cigarette. Do you know, like, the house phone rings, they ring the sister, they have a cigarette while they're on the phone. There's people who will associate, I don't go to the cinema unless I have popcorn and Coke. There's people who will associate, I won't watch the X Factor unless I've ordered me Chinese. Or
Well, Domino's will sponsor an X Factor.
Yeah, or Domino's. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's this attachment. Brilliant by Domino's. There's this attachment.
This thing I'm always saying to people, that, like, you're not a dog, don't reward yourself with food. You know, it's food is for fuel.
Like, even like, last, to go back to the very, very start, like, before we wrap up, kind of go full circle, like, I went out for dinner last weekend, like, and, like, I had dessert, but at no point was I like, I've earned this. I had dessert because I had
to eat this dessert.
Yeah, I had it because I looked at the dessert menu and was like, yeah, I'll have some of that.
What was it?
I
love dessert.
I had a chocolate mousse. Love it was it. Lovely. Nice.
I love apple tart and custard.
I'm not mad about custard.
Oh, I love. I'd make up a cup of custard and just eat it.
So do I.
Can't. What?
Yeah, well, not obviously.
Like a proper custard, or
at Christmas.
But like,
my granny's making the trifle, and I'm like, make some spare custard and fill that cup for me, will you?
Warm or cold?
Warm. Oh,
yeah,
warm,
it has to be warm. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I had cold custard.
Custard. There's two things I have at Christmas: custard and shortbread. I love Christmas. Shortbread.
Lads.
Shortbread at Christmas, really?
Yeah, it's like crispy butter.
Love Christmas.
Seven Mondays.
Ew.
Stop.
Seven Mondays.
What day is Christmas this year?
It's a Friday. Which is beautiful, because that means that Stephen's Day is a Saturday, which means the bank holiday is observed of a Monday.
Oh, love it.
So, 4-day weekend, boys and girls. Yes. No matter what the situation is.
I don't know,
like,
if I'll have a 4-day, me new job.
We will.
Like,
can't wait.
Just won't take on any clients.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, yeah, actually, that's... No, we'll talk about this off air. That's irrelevant, actually. It's like, what way will we be over Christmas
then? Yeah, what way will our training
go? Take a 2-week break, Dan.
Look, I know exactly what you mean about the whole, like, rewarding yourself. Like, I used to definitely look at it of like, oh, I've earned this. Like, but that's fucking childish silliness.
It's
like,
the same,
you know,
that
I mean?
It's the other way. I'm upset, so I'm looking for food to.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, do you know what make me feel better? If I got like 2 Big Macs and a double
and
cheeseburger from the Euroside menu.
You're great. You're eating the Big Macs, and then you're fucking devil that you've eaten. I'm sorry. Yeah. Of course, it's coming out now. I'm sorry, Graham.
You're getting tired and hangry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, look.
It's just when I'm passionate about something and this.
Yeah. Like, my whole thing with it is, look, if it works for you, and I mean, when I say it works, I mean the results stick. It's now go down something for it to work for 6 months for you to then go back to beyond what you were originally. Like, that's...
Well, like, at the very
that's
basic...
That's why all those bloody shake diets and...
We're not talking about that again. Layman's level, for your body to... What you're trying to do in weight loss is set a new homeostasis for your body. And for your body to realize...
Sorry, what's homeostasis?
Just a normal, like the neutral, relaxed plane. Like, this is normal, you know?
Oh, okay,
like, so
all right, okay, yeah.
Where everything is functioning as it would and your body's not struggling or gaining or losing. And for your body to believe something... So right now your body believes your current weight is normal, or it might believe a bit higher and be trying to get back up. You need to be about a year in a certain state of, like, say for me, it might be leanness or whatever, before your body goes, okay, this is the new normal. This is what normal feels like.
Yeah,
this is how we function. So you can yo-yo all you want, but, you know, that's why I don't like people set destinations. Like, they set a weight loss goal. When I hit 9 stone, I'll be happy. Like, all your problems in the world are going to go away.
Yeah.
But also then they hit 9 stone and it's like, I've arrived.
You have to maintain that.
Yeah, and then they just start going backwards then, you know?
Yeah. But no, like, I'm all for people trying to be healthier. Sure, look, I'm trying to do it myself as well. Like, but, you know, I'd just be... research. Don't just do something because you've seen it on telly, or don't just do something because your friend has told you it's magic and it worked for Johnny down the road. Like, research something before. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. People just need to realise there is no such thing as a quick fix.
There's no silver bullet. If there was a silver bullet, I would have lost weight 7 years ago. You know what I mean? I would have lost 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still a big bloke. Like, I'm still, you know, but again, as you said, like, we're getting there, and that's kind of, any progress is good progress. Exactly. Like, so, well, look, I feel like you was kind of almost turned this into about me, lads.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I actually feel as though kind of just honey trapped me
this
into that.
Is your
like,
host.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I kind of went down a bit of a one there as well.
Yeah. I feel like I was honeypotted into just talking about things that are sentimental and emotional to me. Like,
no pressure, but in the next 4 or 5 months, we'll go on another 35 down.
It took me 12 months to get this 35.
I was just gonna say, that's a bit.
You know? Look, we'll get what we'll get, Graham. As long as I'm healthy and happy, what do you care?
No pressure on you.
We're going.
Pressure for tyres. Speaking of pressure for tyres,
I was just going
to
say,
I got my tyres pumped up my wheelchair.
I was actually going to say, yeah, we'll finish on this. You look taller.
But thanks to Valine and Jason from the Bulls, who pumped up my everyday chair wheels yesterday. Yeah. And Danny, as they were being pumped up, I was going up.
Yeah.
The feeling is just sensational. It's like,
well, like, yeah, I was going to say, like,
it's like you getting a new pair of runners. You fitting in.
You
getting a new pair of runners and you feeling that comfort. That's what feels like. That's the equivalent.
The most comfortable pair of runners, lads. They were the last pair of runners I bought. Nike Air Roche.
Like, wow. Well, they're not as comfortable as these tubes after being pumped up last night.
I don't doubt it.
Like, go faster stripes.
Just keep moving. Like,
yeah. He actually is just, it's like you're dancing.
They're not like, they're just deadly.
Beautiful. So you're happy in life then, Graham?
Yeah, I love getting my tyres pumped up. I love leaving them for a while and then getting them pumped up. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Don't let them
You'll
go.
Never experience this.
No, I won't.
Most of our listeners won't either.
Don't ever let them get so bad again, Graham.
But for the listeners that will never feel the experience, just picture or just imagine you putting a new pair of socks on or your new runners. That this is my feeling. And this is my moment. And I'll stick to this moment.
That's a nice happy note to end it on, I think. That was a weird...
And on that note...
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird one tonight. We kind of jumped a lot tonight, but sure, look...
That's what we do.
It's been an emotional roller coaster this evening. Do you know what I mean? It's been up and down.
We probably need a group hug for Danny after that.
No, I'm all right. My legs are in bits after yesterday, but I'm all right. Like.
That's good to know.
So, but look, we're out. We're done. That's it. So, we'll be back next week with a guest. And... until then, keep checking out the previous episodes. You can go all the way back to chapter 1. If kind of what you heard tonight, you're kind of like, I want to know more about that. You can hear it about all three of us and our origins. What it was like when we first started.
We didn't
even know how to work a microphone.
when the two of them dropped more F-bombs.
Oh, it's very sweary. If you're going to go back, lads, just don't brace yourself. It's very sweary.
Do go back.
You know? And then, obviously, all our previous guests and all that crack on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict, anywhere that there is a podcast, if you put WTS Pod in, we're there, man. We're there waiting for you. You just have to find us. Twitter at WTS Pod. What's the story? Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
I struggle to get that out.
Yeah.
The excitement.
We already plugged our.
We'll do it again. In case they're forgotten. And they
America Mania everywhere.
Everywhere and anywhere. Lindsay Doyle, PT.
Yeah.
If you want to know what it's like to be.
I got some goodies from USN today and they spelled my name wrong, so maybe I should spell my name for people. It's Lindsay with an I-L-I-N-D-S-E-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And not an A as the Irish Independent done last week.
No.
L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. Lindsay.
Yeah.
You've become a David last
week. In fairness, though, it's my mum's fault, like, for picking the most outlandish spelling of Lindsay. There's 700.
You went through a phase in school where you were spelling your name L-I-N-Z-I.
Yeah, but that was like graffiti and stuff. That was coolness.
Yeah, absolute dope. Yeah.
That was for graffiti.
I am Lindsay.
Yeah, it says Danjo.
Hang on a second. Daniel Joseph. That's straightforward.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were Bill.
Ah, that's a different story.
Merrigan Mania is because my first ever email address was merriganmania@aircom.net and I've just stuck with it. And
hope
I'm
you get loads
Hulk
of spam
fan. God bless him.
Hope you get loads of spam now.
I'll never go into it.
Anyway, I'm at Danjo Murray and look, lads. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you for listening.
Until next week, good night and God bless.
Yeah.